1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, "He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life." Question, do you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life? Are you eternally secure, or is that something you struggle with? Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, I want us to focus on this morning, most important thought of where is your final destination. They used to say on airplanes, they'd ask people, if this is your final destination, then we wish you a great day in Denver or wherever your final destination was. As a person, as a human being, you ask yourself the question, well, what is my final destination? Where am I going to spend eternity? Now, I was talking to a friend when I was in college. We were at the laundromat together, and college was kind of known for, you rip through all your clothes, and you wait and wait and wait and wait, and then you had this big laundry bag, and it's like, I have to do laundry. And you'd be at the laundromat for a few hours, so it was a good time to do studying or whatever. And I was talking to my friend Bart, and I asked him the question that we so often ask, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Well, he said to me, he said, no, I haven't, and you haven't either. No one can know if they're going to heaven or not before they die. He said, that's what you find out after you die. I said, really? Well, that's interesting. And then I showed him the verse in 1 John chapter 5, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. I said, the Apostle John knew where he was going. He knew he had eternal life. I know I have eternal life. Eternal life is not a hope so, maybe so, guess so. It's a no so. God wants us to know that we belong to him. Now, I have noticed over the years that there you can put people into four categories. And I wrote about this in a booklet that I produced years ago. It's called How to Be Sure You Are Going to Heaven. Four categories of persons as it relates to this question of where is your final destination. There are those who are going to heaven and know it. That's the wonderful place to be in that category. I know I'm going to heaven, and I know I'm going to heaven. I'm just like John. I know that I have eternal life. Then there are those, second category, of people who are going to heaven, but they don't know it. They struggle with the assurance of their salvation. They have really, truly been saved, but they really struggle. They have a lot of doubts. That's a bad place to be. Third category is the person who is not going to heaven, but he thinks he is. She thinks she is. That's a very dangerous place to be when you're not going, but you think you are. Jesus talked about that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many will say to me on that day, on judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you. Many are in that third category. They're not going to heaven, and they think they are. And then the fourth category is the person who's not going to heaven, and they know they're not going to heaven. Now, that may sound like the worst category, but it's not. Because the person who's not going to heaven and knows he's not going to heaven is really a person who's very reachable for Christ. As Jesus said one time to a man, you're not far from the kingdom. Because the biggest thing you have to overcome is pride. And the people that are really hard to reach are the people who are not going to heaven, but they think they are. They think they're good enough. They're like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18 who is praying thus to himself and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, not like this tax collector next to me. I pay tithes on all that I have. I fast twice a week. What a good boy I am. And the tax collector next to him wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He just looked down, beating his breast. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. That tax collector went home justified, and that Pharisee just went home. He was eaten up with the sin of self-righteousness. Hey, so what do you do if you may be in that second category, you're a Christian, but you have so many doubts, or you're in that third category, you're saying, hey, I'm good to go. I know I'm going to heaven, and you're not really born again. Well, you need to understand salvation for sure. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 are, Ephesians 2, the whole chapter is a great chapter, but verses 8, 9, and 10 are really critical. It says, for by grace have you been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's by grace. How is a person saved? By grace. Titus chapter 2, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to every man. God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, the unmerited favor of God. That's what God's grace is, and came to us through Christ. And it's appeared to all men, meaning that all can be saved. Whosoever will may come, as the song says, and whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10, will be saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord in repentance and faith, he will save you. And I'm one who believes that that Jesus died for everyone, and that whoever will repent and believe can be saved. And so it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that a person is saved. It's not as a result of works. The devil has done a number on our world to convince people of the lie that it has to do, your salvation has to do with your works. It doesn't. It all has to do with the work that Jesus did on the cross. That produces the grace. Now, we have to put our faith in God's grace. And I kind of compare it, and in the booklet I do this, I compare it to electricity. Grace is like electricity. So at your house, no doubt, you have some kind of appliance that plugs in. Let's say it's a toaster. In order to make toast, you have to plug in the toaster. Now, you have electricity going to your house. You don't produce that. You have that coming to your house. If you have a power outage, then there's no power at your house. Grace is like electricity that comes to the house. Faith is like the toaster. Now, you can't make toast unless you plug in the toaster. The toaster doesn't work unless it's plugged into the power supply. And if there's no power supply, you're not making toast. So grace is the electricity. Faith is the toaster. When I plug into God's grace, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation, then the power comes to me. God's power of salvation and redemption comes to me. And then I can make toast. What's the toast? Toast of the good works. So you're not saved by good works. You're saved for good works. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, do good works mean nothing? Well, good works mean nothing when it comes to salvation, but they mean a lot when it comes to sanctification, when it comes to living and walking out your salvation. James chapter 2, and James said, faith without works is dead, being by itself. So what does that mean? Well, what he's saying is you're saved by faith alone, but true faith is never alone. because true faith always produces works. It produces a changed life. We let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And if you have no works, then you have to wonder, do I really have true faith? That's why James says, you show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they, nor figs from thistles. The good tree produces good fruit. The bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor a bad tree produce good fruit. You will know them by their fruits. And works are the fruit of your life. And if you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, against such things there is no law, and all you have are the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, it's all listed in Galatians 5, then if that's the works, the fruit of your life, if that's what's on the tree, then hey, newsflash, you have never been saved. How to be sure you are going to heaven. Now, you can test yourself to see if you have really put your faith and trust in Jesus, because it's sad to be the person who is saved, really saved, but you struggle with doubts. So here's a quick test. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, test yourselves to see if you be in the faith. Examine yourselves. So first test is the Savior test, the Savior test. In whom are you trusting for salvation? Are you trusting Jesus alone, or are you trusting in your good works, in your church attendance, in your church membership, in your baptism? Jesus, it's Jesus and Jesus alone who saves. And for my friends who believe that salvation is essential for, or baptism is essential for salvation, the thief on the cross shows you that that is not true. Acts chapter 10, and Cornelius and his family who received the Holy Spirit before they were ever baptized, it shows you that that's not true. We are saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We give a testimony through baptism. That's our first act of obedience. So the Savior test. How about the sin test? How do you feel about sin? When I got saved as a 17-year-old high school senior, that was the first thing I noticed, is my attitude towards sin changed. When you become a Christian, the Lord doesn't fix it so you can't sin anymore. He fixes it so you can't sin and enjoy it anymore. And so the sin test, what is your attitude towards sin? Do you love it and feel so good in it? Or is it something that has a pull on you, but when you fall into sin, you feel horrible about it because you don't really want to do that? So the Savior test, the sin test, how about the Spirit test? Romans 8:16, does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? And how about the sanctification test? How are you living? Are you living a life where you are wanting to please the Lord, and you want to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, as he commands us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, to be his witnesses, to be holy as he is holy? The sanctification test, are you seeing your life grow in Christ's likeness? And then lastly, the sibling test. Do you like to be around the family of God? We used to sing that song when I was in college. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, because I'm part of the family of God. And as a Christian, we enjoy being around God's people, worshiping the Lord, and being in the fellowship of the saints. So, hey, do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're born again, that you're going to heaven? How to be sure you're going to heaven? I have this booklet for you. If you'd like to get it, you can go online to fromhisheart.org, and we can get it for you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we'll be right back as we talk to Steve Tabor. Don't go away.
On January 12th, a tornado tracked across several southern states, leaving significant damage. 8 Days of Hope is going to the hard-hit area of Selma, Alabama, and we need your help. Here's 8 Days of Hope president, Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change, and you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 or older. Meals and lodging will be provided. Come and be the hands and feet of Jesus. For more information or to volunteer, visit 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And you just heard the commercial for Preborn, and American Family Radio is glad to partner with them. And we have a campaign. We're trying to save 4,000 babies' lives. And your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. And your gift of $140 provides 5 free ultrasounds. And what they've found is if the mother in crisis can see the baby on an ultrasound, they are extremely prone to saying, I can't destroy this child. I'm going to keep this child or give this child up for adoption, but I'm not going to kill this child. And they've counseled over 450,000 women over 16 years. And considering abortion, more than 200,000 babies have been saved, and more than 65,000 women have surrendered their lives to Christ. So if you can give, go online today, afr.net, or call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, and give today. Debbie and I gave today online. It was very easy to do, and we are glad and excited to partner with American Family Radio, American Family Association, and Preborn in saving babies' lives. Well, there's another great ministry that we partner with at American Family Association, and it's called 8 Days of Hope. It's a Christian disaster relief organization, serves as the hands and feet of Jesus, providing light in the face of darkness and restoration in the face of destruction. They respond to disasters across the country and helping people rebuild homes, helping communities rebuild, helping lives get back on their feet. And we have the president, CEO, and founder with us, Steve Tybor. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me, and good morning. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you. Okay, so Steve, tell us about how the company began.
You know, we started back in 2005 after Hurricane Katrina. I was living in Tupelo, Mississippi, and a storm hit our state called Katrina. You probably heard about it. The idea was simply my dad and I were going to take a couple buddies and we were going to help out one family rebuild their home in the aftermath of the hurricane. We start sharing it with some friends, and next thing you know, we took 684 volunteers and rebuilt 84 homes in 8 days in December of 2005. And since that time, we've launched into a national ministry. We're still based in Tupelo, Mississippi, but we have satellites in New York and Iowa. God has blessed us with about 200 volunteer leaders around the country. 50,000 volunteers have traveled with us now, and we just completed, I believe it was our $70 million of work just recently down in Florida after Hurricane Ian. We've responded to over 80 disasters, and we also now build safe homes for ministries for free for those who've been rescued from trafficking. So natural disasters and human disasters, we respond when there's a need, and we've been doing this. This is our 18th year, and this week we're in Alabama, so it's there's always something for us to do, and our goal is simple. We just want to bring a glimpse of hope, love, joy. We just want to see people have people see Jesus in action, and that's where we lean on the saints. And again, today we're in Selma, Alabama, helping in the aftermath of the tornado last week.
Well, with all these volunteers, Steve, I mean, do people have to have a lot of skill and ability to work with you, or how does that play out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So whenever there's a disaster, we try to get there within 24, 48 hours. That's our rapid response division, and that's what's in Selma, Alabama. We were there the next day after the tornado. I think many of your listeners would remember that 9 people lost their life during those deadly tornadoes. And we just want to, again, try to bring some hope to those who are feeling brokenhearted. And so you don't have to be skilled. If you can pull limbs, if you know how to operate a chainsaw, great. If you can help muck out a house that maybe got water damage, and that's very simply just demo work. If you can make sandwiches, if you can do laundry, it's amazing the things that we need to have done while we're in Alabama and elsewhere. We actually bring a laundry trailer. So people who've lost their homes and their washers and dryers and you know, things aren't working in order, we give people the dignity to wash their clothes, or we wash them for them. So you don't have to be skilled. We say less skilled. There's no such thing as non-skilled. But yeah, less skilled volunteers. It's free. We provide food and lodging. And all the information, including the FAQs, is on our website at 8daysofhope.com.
Okay, so how does it work, Steve? You go to, let's say you go to Selma. Are you connecting with churches to find the people that you're helping, or are you just going down the street, or how does that work?
Yeah. You know, for 18 years, we've always worked through a local church because we come, we serve, and we leave, and it's so important. We do what we do. I mean, this isn't just about doing work. It's trying to lead others through your actions to a relationship with Jesus. And so, you know, we've partnered with a church, Grand Valley Baptist Church, which is just northeast of Selma, and we're working with some other churches in the area as well. So, you know, of course, the easiest place to start is helping people in their congregation, but we always encourage the churches, and they do a really good job of just bring us the names of widows and single moms and elderly, people who didn't have any insurance or the right insurance, and this gives them an opportunity to start developing a relationship. So again, to answer your question, we always work through a local church. That's just kind of, that's our model.
Yeah. Okay, so I read somewhere where you guys have your family has recently moved, is that right?
Yeah, you know, we moved to New York. A donor gave us a 100,000 square foot building in New York, and we've been doing so much ministry up in Buffalo. You know, the snow blizzard that killed 47 people right after Christmas in Buffalo, we were able to very quickly deploy through multiple churches because the roads were closed for multiple days, about $75,000 of food to the shut-ins of people that couldn't get down the street. So, yes, we have a satellite in Buffalo, New York, and that's where we live. But actually next week I'll be in Alabama in Tupelo. So, you know, as long as you have a phone and a computer and can move quickly, you know, you could be anywhere in the country. And by having three sites, that allows us to serve in Kansas when there's a tornado, Buffalo when there's a blizzard, and Alabama when there's a tornado or hurricane. So it gives us a lot of flexibility.
Okay, so I would imagine that a ministry like this, you have to have a lot of equipment.
Yes, and we do. I tell you, 5 years ago, we had one pickup truck and about $20,000 of tools, and God just opened up a door. He gave us a vision, and we pursued that vision. And, you know, today we have 200 volunteer leaders. We have a small staff, but we have over $3 million of equipment. We have bobcats and bucket trucks, laundry trailers, shower trailers, feeding trailers. We have, you know, mini skid steers, We have hundreds of chainsaws and, you know, tarping for roofs. And so the good news is, you know, we follow the model of no debt. Everything that we God has blessed us with, you know, we own and we maintain, and about $1 million of equipment in Selma, Alabama today. So I think we're up to 16 F-350 dualies that pull all the equipment around, and that's pulled all by volunteers. So again, without our volunteers, we couldn't do what we do, and we're so thankful for the 50,000 volunteers who've traveled with us over the last 17 years.
Steve, what did you do before you started this ministry?
You know, my background is building materials. So I led a building material corporation. We had a facility in Mississippi and some facilities in Ohio. And I left doing that at the age of 55. I was doing both, that and leading 8 Days of Hope as a volunteer leader. And about 5 years ago, God gave the vision to the board to take another step forward. And the last 5 years have been a whirlwind, and I'm one of 200 leaders, but we've got an amazing team. But that background of manufacturing and, you know, building materials has been very helpful, you know, since day one of doing this. Now, I'm not the handiest person. I'm like Tim Wildman. He and I laugh all the time that, you know, maybe we'll hold the microphone or we'll cast a vision, but they don't give me any power tools when we deploy, but there's other things that I can do that God uses. So that praise God for that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not the handiest guy either. So let me ask you about the name of the ministry, 8 Days of Hope. Where did that come from?
You know, our rebuilding trips are 8 days long. So we just finished our 18th rebuilding trip, December 3rd to the 10th. We were in Lake Charles, Louisiana, where in 8 days we rebuilt 117 homes. The number 8 means new beginnings in the Bible. And so our rebuild trips are 8 days. Now, our safe houses and rapid response will be in Alabama for more than 8 days. But that name and the rebuild arm is all we did the first, I think, 13 years of the ministry. So just the last 5 years, the rapid response division launched, the safe house ministry launched, and interesting enough is on March 1st, we're launching a mass feeding arm, and we've purchased about $1 million of equipment, $1.1 million of equipment. This equipment will go to disaster sites around the country, park at a local church, and it can produce up to 8,000 meals in 2 hours. And so, you know, when Hurricane Ian hit New Orleans and we saw La Place, Louisiana lose power for 27 days, we realized that food was the most basic need people needed. And we just, you know, we did it. We just said, hey, let's try it. We were making 800 meals a day, and we had to turn away hundreds of cars. And yet we saw people meet Jesus while waiting for food, sitting in their car. And we saw people prayed for. We did it through a local church. So that arm will launch on March 1st.
All right. Well, Steve, how do people get involved?
Thanks again for having me today. So today, you know, you're driving down the road, you live in Tennessee, Georgia, maybe you're in Kansas and you've got some time on your hands. We're going to be in Selma, Alabama right through February 3rd. That's a Friday. So it's about 2 more weeks. You don't have to be skilled. We provide a safe place for you to sleep. You're going to meet some amazing people from around the country. You have to be 18 years of age because it is an active disaster site. We provide food and lodging. Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, 8daysofhope.com. Read the FAQs. And maybe you can't go to Alabama the next 2 weeks. You got a lot going on. Maybe you're an accountant and this is your busy season. just go to our website and sign up for our email alerts. We're not going to blow up your email, but every time God opens up a door for us to serve somebody, either because of a disaster or because we're building a safe house for children rescued from trafficking, we'll invite you and you can come. So go to 8dayshope.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our year-end video on our website at 8dayshope.com. You'll see what God did through this ministry last year in 2022.
Man, that is so cool. Well, Steve, God bless you, my brother, and what an awesome ministry to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to share the love of Christ in a very tangible way. I would imagine you see a lot of grateful people when you come and do your work.
Yeah. You know, we tell our volunteers, you might leave exhausted, but you're changed forever. And I'm humbled that God has allowed me and these other 200 leaders to have a front row seat because we watch them move and move again. It's been amazing. Hey, and thank you so much. 85% of our volunteers come to 8 Days of Hope because they hear about us on American Family Radio. So I want to thank you, the Wildman family, all the staff there. You guys do an amazing job to let the saints know of an opportunity to go and serve. And, you know, it's been a couple tough years and people have been a little bit hesitant, but please, if you haven't traveled in a while and did mission work, even if it's not with 8 Days of Hope, find a ministry that you can believe in, trust, and go be the hands and feet of Jesus. But thank you so much for your support.
Amen. Amen. Steve, how can our listeners pray for you personally as you lead this ministry?
Oh my gosh. Thank you for asking. It's so kind. Probably just continue to try to keep the balance in life you need to have, right? You know, you walk with the Lord, your family, doing what we do, we could be gone just about every single day. And I think I've gotten better over the years of understanding that you can't be at everything and do everything. But, right. Probably balance, not only for me, but for the staff. You know, we don't have a lot of staff members. And disasters don't come 8 to 5 Monday to Friday. You know,
no.
It seems like a lot of them come at, 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday night, and you're spending your Sabbath on Sunday, arranging for volunteers to show up. So probably just balance and a productive 2023 that God allows us to use our gifts in the right way.
Amen. I heard something, Steve, early in ministry. Every need is not a call. Because some pastors can just see, well, there's a need, I have to do it, and they can lose their families in the process, and so on.
Yeah, you're right. We've seen it. You know, we've been in Alabama. This is day number 7. I have yet to be there, and only 2 of our staff have been there. And so we have so many amazing volunteer leaders who've been properly trained and can go serve a week or 2 weeks a year. So we're learning, but, yeah, continue to pray for that. And the safety for the volunteers. We're going to be doing a lot of chainsaw work and tree work in Alabama the next 2 weeks. So please pray for those volunteers as well.
Amen. Well, thank you for being on the program today, Steve. God bless you and God bless your family and this wonderful work, 8 Days of Hope. And so go to 8daysofhope.com and you can find out more. You can find out how to partner with them, how to be a part of what they're doing as they are ministering to people in need, rebuilding homes, rebuilding lives, rebuilding communities. So God bless you, my brother. Thank you for coming on today. Well, you're listening to...
Thank you.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I said thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're going to open the phone lines. We're right up, coming up against a break, but the phone lines will be open when we come back, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And as we began at the beginning of the broadcast, how to be sure you are going to heaven. That is critical. I like what my friend Tim Lee said. He said, you don't have to go to heaven and you don't have to go to hell, but you can't stay here on earth. David Crosby tweeted out just the other day, maybe you heard about this, that heaven is overrated. He's the singer for Crosby, Stills, and Nash, or when that had it was a group. That's his claim to fame. Heaven is overrated, and the next day, he died. Eternity waits for all of us. Where are you going to spend eternity? You can spend it in heaven with God and all the saints of all the ages and kick up gold dust on the streets of glory, or you will spend eternity in a terrible, horrible place away from the presence of the Lord, a place called hell, a place that burns with fire and brimstone, a place of torment God doesn't want you to go to that terrible, horrible place. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and to rise again from the dead to purchase a place for you in heaven. And all who will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus will be saved. So I'd love to talk to you, 888-589-8840, about eternal security, how to be sure you're going to heaven. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They were great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month. And that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is a national and international radio, television, and online ministry. And we are blessed to partner with American Family Radio. We are heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, and I'd love for you to tune in. Hey, I wanted to let you know that hot off the press, we are going to Israel. I'm leading a trip to Israel October 16th through the 25th of this year, 2023. That's a great time to go to Israel. I've been to Israel a number of times, and first time I ever went was in January. I had some friends that just went, Dr. Jack Graham and Jarrett Stevens, Champion Forest Baptist Church. They just led their churches to go in January. I went in January and baptized in the Jordan, and the Jordan must have been 50 degrees. It was brutal, and that was in 2007. I could never warm up after that, so I kind of warded off the January trips. So we're going in October. It's a good time because it's cool, but it's not cold. And October 16th through the 25th, you can go to fbctexarkana.org to find out more information. Love for you to go with us if you could. And it's going to be a great trip. We're going to have a wonderful time together. And so October 16th through the 25th, 2023, the Holy Land trip that I will lead. Well, we have opened up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. As we've been talking about lots of things today, we've been talking about how to be sure you're going to heaven. We talked to Steve Tiber at 8 Days of Hope, and we've talked about partnering with Preborn. And so we have Donna on the line from Texas. Donna, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Thank you so much. I just wanted to give out a shout to Steve Tiber and 8 Days of Hope. I went on my very first trip to Lake Charles, Louisiana, past December. It was amazing. It was amazing. And the one takeaway was everybody was in one accord. And that was to be the hands and feet of Jesus and just love on these people and love on each other as well. It's a wonderful setup. I recommend it to everybody, and bring your families. It is amazing.
Amen. Amen. And you were there for 8 days?
I was there for 6 days.
So you had 6 days of hope.
I did. But you know, after you leave, it stays with you. It stays with you.
Amen. Amen. That is great. Well, I love Steve's heart, as we were talking in the last segment, and obviously lots of needs, tremendous amount of needs. And as we had said, you know, every need is not a call, because you could run yourself into the ground if you try and meet every single need. But praise God for his ministry and the lives that they're touching. And Donna, for you to partner with them and just encourage others. There are many, many listeners that you're looking for something. How does the Lord want to use me? That's a great way that the Lord can use you. And you say, well, maybe I'm not really good at speaking or teaching, but man, you can come alongside somebody. You might be great one-on-one. You might be great at doing things that help rebuild a person's home and in the process rebuild their lives. So, all right, Donna, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for that testimony. Well, we have Sandra on the line from Illinois. Sandra, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you.
Yes.
In Galatians 5, was Paul addressing true Christians or non-Christians?
Well, he's probably addressing both. You know, he's dealing with the Judaizers in Galatians 5, but he's probably casting a pretty wide net there. And so he's talking to some who are not true believers and some who are true believers, but they're getting sucked into false teaching and trying to let them know, hey, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Don't go back to the ways of Judaism to try and work out your salvation. I think a key verse in Galatians is chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the one thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? So he's talking to people who began, they responded to the gospel as he preached it, and they're now trying to go back to the flesh to live out their Christian lives. That's something we all fall into very easily, Sandra, and we have to always remember it's not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. And the only life that counts on the Lord's clock and receives a reward is the life that's lived surrendered to Jesus, filled with the Spirit.
Okay, because in Galatians 5, he begins with, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And in 7, "You did run well." So there's the Christians that he's speaking to. I don't find anything that indicates that he's talking to those who are not and think they are.
Well, the letters come to the churches, and so in, just like in any church, I preach on, you know, to the church. I'm talking to Christians, and I'm talking to non-Christians, and I don't necessarily know who are saved and who are not. The Lord knows that. The Lord knows those who are His. So you cast out the word, and the word speaks to believers, and it speaks to those who have not yet put their faith and trust in Christ. And so I think it hits both. Obviously, this is a letter that Paul sent out to all the brethren who are with grace to you and peace from God our Father. Let's see. He is speaking to those believers and those who claim to be believers that are in that that region known as Galatia. And so I think you always have both in those letters. They're directed to the believers, but you know, people associated with the church, not everybody's a Christian. I heard the statistic not too long ago that in the average Baptist church, and I pastor a Baptist church, in the average Baptist church, 50% of the people in the congregation have never been born again. And so you're speaking to those who are believers and those who think they are. We call them make-believers. But I think it's both.
Okay, and it's just in that particular, in that chapter, I haven't read anything that indicates that he is speaking to those who are deceived and think that they are. But I suppose it could go that way.
Well, when he tells people, I forewarned you, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. An unbeliever doesn't inherit the kingdom of God. And so he was giving them a test. If the fruit of your life is the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, all those things that he gives, outbursts of anger, the 15 things and things like these, of which I forewarn you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If that is the fruit of your life, then you need to step back and say, I don't think I've ever truly been saved. Now, we all struggle. Every believer struggles with those things because we struggle with the flesh. Walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh. The desire of the flesh is in you. It's in me. It's in the Apostle Paul. Is in everybody. And so we battle with that. But we yield to the Spirit so that the Spirit is in control. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. You're not yielding to the flesh, Romans 6. You're not yielding your members to be controlled by the flesh. You're yielding yourself to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So, does that help answer your question?
Not the question that I had, but it explains where you're coming from.
Well, where are you coming from, Sandra?
Just that in this, and that's all, just in this particular chapter, that I'm not reading anything that indicates that he is speaking to the deceived. And I mean deceived in thinking that they are saved and are not. I suppose that it's inferred. Paul didn't do much inferring, though.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty clear to say that you got people, if their lives are characterized by the deeds of the flesh, he says, don't be deceived. If that's your life, then you're not really a believer. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I think that's pretty clear from Galatians 5, verse 21. So there, it's a contrast there. So he's talking to believers, but there are believers, just like I said at the top of the program, that there are people who think they're believers and they've never truly been saved. That's why they need examine themselves to see that whether they be in the faith. And so the sanctification test, you test yourself to see, what is my life? I mean, let's be honest here. Do I have a heart that wants to follow Christ? Am I seeing him, he must increase and I must decrease, as John the Baptist said. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, it says in Philippians chapter 2. What do I work out? I work out what God has worked in. But if God hasn't worked in anything, if I've never really put my faith and trust in Jesus, then there is not going to be a fruit of the Spirit, because the Spirit doesn't live inside. And so I think that's clear from that passage in Galatians 5, that there are those who think they're Christians and they're not. And the test is the fruit of their lives. But I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you sharing, Sandra. And so God bless you, my sister. Well, the number to call, we still have just a couple of minutes, 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or want to make a comment, as Sandra did, I'd love to talk to you. Listen, there's nothing more important than knowing where you're going to spend eternity. As I had mentioned about the David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, his tweet, heaven is overrated. It's cloudy there. I think that's what he says, overrated, cloudy. I just feel for that guy because you die the next day, and I don't know his spiritual condition, but it doesn't sound good. So he's going to find out what it's like, and he is finding out what it's like to be separated from God forever if he never put his faith and trust in Jesus. Well, we have Mark on the line from Texas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. I have a question for you. I have a friend who is a pastor, and we were discussing about gay marriage if a couple applies for a wedding in his church. And he said, he didn't say if he's pro it or against it, but he said his decision will be made based on love. So if he decides based on love, then he should not be wrong. And I was wondering, that doesn't seem to be what I know of the Bible when it comes to gays. So what do you say? And hang up and listen to you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, so I think it's good. Your decision is based on love. So what does the Bible say about love? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. That's real love. It doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. A gay marriage would be an abomination to God, because the Lord has said, if a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, it is an abomination. It is utterly repulsive to God. So true love could not rejoice in that, could not participate in that, could not celebrate that, because true love would just rejoice in the truth. And anybody that would say, well, if you don't get on board with that, then you don't really love, they don't understand what the word means. Because God is love, and God hates sin, and God doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. He rejoices with the truth. And you and I can't rejoice in unrighteousness. That's why a Christian can't participate at all in a gay wedding, because a wedding is a time for celebration, and you can't celebrate that. You would just have to weep over that, because that is somebody that is going down the road that leads to destruction, and they're cheering as they go down that road. You don't cheer a person for going down the road of destruction that leads off a cliff. You pity that person, you try and turn that person around and warn that person. You know, we're called to be watchmen on the wall. We see the enemy coming and we warn people. And the Lord says, if you don't warn them, their blood is on your hands. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I hope you have a great weekend. And if you're not involved in a church, get involved. Go this weekend and let the Lord lead you. And pray for me if you would. So I'm preaching on Exodus 32, the power of intercessory prayer as Moses interceded for the people. So God bless you, shine and share, and let the Lord use you. I'll see you again on Monday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.